So Hebrews chapter 10, talking about baptism here, and verse 20. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So the important part, I mean, I read a lot more of that last week, but Jesus came in the flesh. He shed his blood, and he brought in a new and living way. And it says there that he is consecrated for us through the veil. So as I said last week, that veil was torn, which miraculously, and the analogy is his flesh was broken as well. But the point here is by a new and living way. For a thousand years or so, there was the Old Testament law, the Old Covenant. And so the nation of Israel was used to living under this old law. Of course, they rebelled and waxed and waned in their faith toward God in that time. But by the time Jesus came, they'd spent so long with these traditions and commandments. And in fact, Jesus himself refers to the old law as a bit of an old garment. You know, when he says you don't sew on a new piece on the old garment, but you start anew. So this, he was referring to what he was part of, was ushering in a new and living way. So John the Baptist, he arrived on the scene, and he began preaching about a new way. Of course, his name, John the Baptist, he came in preaching about baptism. And baptism was not part of the salvation message before that. So it was completely unknown. So John the Baptist came on board, started teaching people about this new way called baptism. Then Jesus came along, was baptized by him, and he preached for 3.5 years. And then he died and rose again, and then the Holy Spirit was given. So there's this period of time that helped in the ushering of this new way. And John the Baptist was very important in that, being the first person, as we'll read further on. Okay, Matthew chapter 11. I'm sure some of you know which scriptures I'm referring to there, and we will read them out later. And verse 7, a bit of reading here. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John the Baptist, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So this is Jesus telling the people that are following him how important John the Baptist was. And I'll read out a couple of Old Testament prophecies of John the Baptist. But this passage here I decided to start off with because it says in verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, like when Jesus is standing there, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's an interesting way that Jesus is framing it there. But that violence is possibly due to the changes that have started to happen. And those changes, as it says here, from the days of John the Baptist. So the changes were heralded in by John the Baptist. Of course, prophesied in the Old Testament, but it was John the Baptist who rocked up on the scene. And from that point, it says heaven suffers violence. And so I'm taking a little bit of license maybe that violence was that change that was happening. You know, the salvation message was changing over this time. The thing that was set down for 1,000-odd years was being torn up and thrown out the window. And so that was how it's changed. Even though we know the Old Testament law was a shadow of things to come. You can read the Old Testament. It's a shadow of heavenly things. It's a type of what the era that we're living in now. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, this is referring to John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. So John the Baptist prepared the way before Jesus. You know, let everyone know about this new thing called baptism to make it easier for, in a way, I guess, for Jesus and his preaching. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, and that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. So this is the first Old Testament prophecy, that messenger, as I read before, that will go before. The reason I read on, it's interesting how in verse 3 it refers to, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. And then at the end, offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. It's interesting that John the Baptist was a Levite. His dad was a priest, and his mum was of the children of Aaron, as you can read elsewhere. And so he was a Levite. So John the Baptist was chosen as this this vessel to go about the son of Levi to offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And then it goes on in verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem. And Jesus, we know, was of the house of Judah. His mum, Mary, was of a direct line from David, who was a Judahite. And he was offered. He was the offering, the final sacrifice. And it was pleasant in the eyes of the Lord. And I like how it adds there, as in the days of old, and as in former years. So this is the purity, that the proper sacrifice, that Passover lamb in the form of Jesus Christ was done properly on that day. Isaiah chapter 40, and down in verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. So John the Baptist was in the wilderness and he was crying out, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So a wonderful prophecy there of the purpose of John the Baptist, you know, the vessel that he was chosen by God to prepare the way of the Lord, to make it straight. And so in the desert, a highway for our God, you know, he's there kind of sweeping it away and so that Jesus can come in and do his work. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amazing prophecy. You can read on, and that was actually Gabriel that came and appeared to Zechariah and told him that. So on the one hand, great joy because they had no children and then there'll be a son born. But then it's this great child. You know, as Jesus said, no one born of a woman is greater than this man, John. And he played such an important part. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost even from the mother's womb. He was brought up as a Nazarite, as it says there, you should not drink wine or strong drink. And at the end of verse 17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's how important this man John was. He made ready a people. He prepared them in their mindset for the Lord, for Jesus to come later. He prepared them with this whole idea of baptism. And he preached in the wilderness. And he got them ready so that then they were ready to hear what Jesus had to say. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So that's what it says there. It clearly says that John the Baptist was about in the wilderness and he was teaching or preaching the baptism of repentance. How important it is for the remission of sins. And then we'll turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 is an account. Now, I like to read them as they come together in the Gospels. John chapter 1 is an account of John himself. Okay, so we've been reading accounts, prophecies in the Old Testament, Jesus talking about John, Mark's account. But John chapter 1 is actually an account where John the Baptist speaks of himself and who he is. He bears record of himself, so to speak. John chapter 1 and verse 22. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So John, as with the build-up that I've said, John was so important, but John himself says that someone else is preferred before him, and that man is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself... Sorry, I was a bit ahead of my time there. So I like... where was it? I lost track. Yeah, anyway, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 3. So the point there, John was a great man, greater than anyone born of women, but this man that came after was greater. And I like the way he says there that I am unworthy to unloose his shoe latchet. That's how great this man is compared to John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. So he puts it in another way there. I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's why he's more important. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So John the Baptist was spot on when he said, I don't get this. Why are you come to me to baptize you? You know, I should be baptized of you. He was right. Jesus was far greater. He, as he prophesied there, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, no, just let it be so now, just for this moment. Just for this moment, I need to be baptized. Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be baptized. Suffer it to be so now. Just do it, because it fulfills all righteousness. So John preached the baptism of repentance and the remission of sins. That's what he preached about. But Jesus himself, the Son of God, also had to be baptized. That's how important it is today as well that we get baptized. Praise the Lord. Us here have been baptized. Many people ask that because you just get wet. And it's right. You can minimize it to that. You just get wet. But God's Son himself got baptized. And if Jesus did, then why are we to argue? Why are we to argue of the importance? Because for Jesus, it fulfilled all righteousness. So with us as well, it fulfills all righteousness. That is how important baptism is. And it explains further on, Paul explains that it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. You know, it doesn't make sense. I just get wet. You know, I've got to dry myself. It's just annoying. You know, I've got wet clothes. It's just, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. Look, Jesus did it. It says in the scriptures, I have to do it. Okay, that's the good conscience toward God. I'll get baptized. And then like Ian brought this out on Wednesday as well, that the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, you know, and that was the start. He came out of the water, and that was the start of his ministry, the 3.5 years for him to teach. Where are we? Oh, Acts chapter 18. So in a way, John came and preached in the wilderness, to make the path straight. Then Jesus was baptized, and that was the time where John was to diminish. He was to diminish, and Jesus was to become the prominent man to preach about the full gospel. Acts chapter 18 and verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So this man knew about the scriptures. He read the Bible, so to speak. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. So how about that? He knew the scriptures. He ploughed through the scriptures. Alexandria was known as a place of many books. They had the library there. And so this was a man who was well taught. But then it says at the end of verse 25, knowing only the baptism of John. So he'd heard of the baptism of John. And as I said last week, what a tragedy. At this point, we're only in chapter 18 of Acts. And people have stopped teaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're only teaching about, some of them were only teaching about the baptism of John. So this man who was mighty in scriptures, that's all he knew. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, pulled him aside, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So hence, with my introduction there, I was saying that no matter how many times some of us ploughed through the scriptures, we just didn't quite get it. We needed someone to pull us aside and show us more perfectly the way of God. And of course, we know full well what Aquila and Priscilla then told Apollos. You know, the story of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, baptism by the Holy Ghost, you know, speaking in tongues, all these great things. So we'll jump down to chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, he moves around a fair bit, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. So again, these are people. Now, whether these people listened to Apollos when he came to town, maybe, and then Apollos disappeared and Paul came in, or whether they knew beforehand. But here's a group of people as well that had only ever heard of John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, as we've read, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So John the Baptist himself proclaimed, as we've read, that they must believe on him that should come after, that's greater than him. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So John the Baptist, the baptism of John was so important, as we've read. It was prophesied, it came to pass, made path straight, voice in the wilderness, so many things that I've repeated. It was so important, but it was not the whole picture. And that was what was lacking here. These people at Ephesus, they didn't know the whole picture. And so with baptism, praise the Lord, at the Revival Fellowship, we're told about the whole picture. The whole picture is baptism by full immersion underwater with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. And so they got baptized again with the hope of receiving the Holy Spirit. And they did. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. And so that was the whole picture, the whole importance of it, bringing it together. Because the importance of John the Baptist, the baptism of John is kind of diminished when you don't tell everyone about the whole picture. Just over to Acts chapter 9. So we've just read there about Paul himself explaining to these people at Ephesus about the whole picture. So let's read about Paul himself. Let's hope that he got baptized as well. Let's hope. Acts chapter 9. And verse 1, we'll do a bit of reading here just because it's a great story, as they say, the conversion of Paul, or Saul. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he was quite a bad man at this stage. Threatenings and slaughter. Like we can read elsewhere that he was incarcerating people, and people were killed as a result of the work that Saul did. as his zeal toward crushing this new and living way. Saul recognized there's this new way, but he didn't realize it was the living way. So he was going about to crush this new and living way. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So those pricks are those little spikes that they used to put behind horses' hooves when they were pulling a cart, you know, like so they wouldn't kick against it. So that's what the analogy is. What work Paul is doing trying to destroy this thing is like a horse kicking against the pricks. You're not going to win, Paul. You're just going to get sorer and sorer, injuries and so forth. Verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, in other words, he was blinded, and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. So he had quite a reputation, this Saul character. The saints, the spirit-filled saints, had heard of him. And of course, naturally, Ananias was afraid. Verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Amazing conversion. And but it clearly says there that Paul was baptized. So that's with the confidence after that, he could rock up to these people at Ephesus and say, speak about the true baptism. It says also he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And we know that he spoke in tongues because he refers to that elsewhere. He knew what he was talking about. He had his own experience, so he could then tell others, like us also. We have this experience. As I said last night to this person as well, we have something tangible. Something tangible we can latch hold of. Something real. So we have this authority to explain the importance of baptism and praying for the Holy Spirit. I won't go through them, but also in Acts, there's the account in Samaria where all those people were baptized. It clearly says they were baptized in Samaria. There was a woman in Lydia who traded in purple fabric. Her and her household were baptized, it clearly says. There was the keeper of prison. When Paul and Silas were there, who cleaned up their wounds, and him and his household were baptized. There was a man who lived hard against a Corinthian synagogue. He was baptized as well. So throughout Acts, there is other examples of people being baptized. Last scripture, Mark chapter 16. So I'll read a bit about what Jesus is saying And this is something that's spoken of by Jesus after his resurrection. Mark 16 and verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So there you go, straight out of Jesus' mouth. He knew he was baptized, and now in this time to come, this era to come, after he was, this is after his resurrection also. So he's about to be taken up, as you read further down in the chapter, taken up to where he belongs, which is where we belong also. But it clearly says there that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay, that's salvation, saved from this world, saved from death. But then he clarifies it even further if we need it. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So that's how important baptism is. So neglect not to tell others about the whole picture, the whole story of baptism. You know, the complete picture, which was neglected by Apollos because he didn't know about it. He only knew about the baptism of John, which is important. But it's not the whole picture. Okay, I'll hand over to Ian now. He's got the communion service.